let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hello, Onanta.
Hi, Randy. How's your week been?
Very nice. Thank you.
Yes.
saw this interesting article, how to avoid being a bad tourist. It's on travelpulse.ca. I'm sure we've seen lots of examples of bad behavior by tourists. And hopefully, at least I think I can say that I'm a pretty good tourist. I don't really do any of the things that we're going to talk about. How about you?
Well, definitely not some of the things that are listed here. And it's interesting because last year we saw travel really strongly rebound, but also making a comeback as badly behaved tourists. And I'm sure you and the listeners have heard CNN Travel even put together a roundup of worst behaved travelers of 2025. And it's like reality TV sometimes, like they're disrupting rescue routes on Mount Etna. They're blocking airplane toilets on long haul flights. Why would you do that?
I know, right?
Because you need those.
Yes.
You're vandalizing heritage sites. So, I guess it could be entertaining to read, but you don't really want to know that this is happening in the world. And a lot of places are, with Canadians, they're very popular regions that Canadians travel to. So in Italy alone, tourists were photographed diving into Venice's Grand Canal, driving scooters up the Spanish Steps and damaging priceless artwork in museums like the Uffizi. I'm not too sure if I said that right, galleries. But they come with fines and arrests and a whole lot of backlash from locals who are already feeling the pressure of over-tourism. So I listen to that and I hear that and I think, bad manners. Like we would never be brought up like that, I hope.
Well, exactly. Well, it makes me wonder, like, is this a generational thing? And I'm going to answer my own question. Yes. Because you don't see, sometimes you see some pretty rude older people, but not doing those things, damaging things and just doing stupid things.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm kind of stuttering right now because I can't believe that it is actually happening. And probably a lot of these people, I don't know if they're inebriated or not. Like you can kind of see it in a rugby match or a soccer match in Europe, but maybe, yeah. But not really. But I think when you have the opportunity to go to somewhere away from your home, you should respect that. You should follow local norms. For an example, in the UK, queuing is sacred. Like you have to be, you do line up. You don't bump in ahead of somebody else. Or in Spain, you respect siesta hours when shops close middays. Those little courtesies go a long way in helping you blend in and avoid unintentionally offending somebody. For an example, in Asia, where diversity, we love going there because it's part of the magic of going there, but etiquette can change dramatically from one destination to the next. And so in Bali or Kyoto or Phuket, locals have been very vocal about quality of life issues tied to overcrowding and tourist behavior. So cultural sensitivity really matters here. And they're such gracious people. Like I really enjoy their kindness and the way they present themselves. And for an example, for us, we should recognize when we go to a temple or a sacred site across Asia that we should be, considering how we dress. Like modest dress is often expected. So covering our shoulders and knees, removing our shoes, keeping voices low. Think about Angkor Wat, Thailand's Grand Palace. These are living cultural spaces. So you're not supposed to photo the backdrops. I remember this one time, as I age, it's harder to go onto the ground, sit on the ground. And you have to be careful that your feet don't face the different, religious entities that are there. So it's very, you know, small gestures matter. So we have to show respect. And in the Caribbean and Latin America, again, also hugely popular with Canadians, we have to consider different things. Like in some places, you can't wear camouflage. Like that's considered actually, you know, could be against the law, because they cannot determine who is actually police and who isn't if you're all in camouflage, right? And in many Latin American countries, there's a more relaxed attitude towards time and a strong emphasis on friendly personal interaction. So it, again, being patient, polite, flexible tends to open more doors and rushing to, or demanding efficiency. Don't be that angry tourist that, you know, you need to know right now, because sometimes it just doesn't work.
Well, I would like to think that a lot of the bad behaviors aren't intentional, but then you look at some of the examples and you go, well, like, what were you thinking? Like, and they can get you in a lot of trouble in certain areas doing things that, you know, they can get you, land you in jail, for example, or fines, like you mentioned. So it's best to know the customs and norms of the places you're going to and be aware of all those things.
Absolutely. And even environmental respect is also critical. Like when you're going somewhere, like stick to the park pass, follow the park rules, dispose of waste properly. Like just don't fling it out of your window or drop it on the ground. Because these destinations often rely heavily on fragile ecosystems and tourism dollars to survive. So we don't want to destroy them. And you're seeing that different places in the world, you can see that they're not allowing people. Like before, back in the day when I was starting my travel, you used to be able to climb pyramids in Mexico. Now you can't in a lot of places. So, and you want to see those places, like the places in Egypt and older civilizations. I think that's what draws you to them. So why would you want to, you know, treat them poorly so that you can't enjoy them to the fullest, or, you know, feel the beauty of them and the history of them. Cause I think, you know, standing in front of the pyramids in Egypt is awe inspiring.
Exactly. And like, you see this in everyday life as well. You don't have to travel very far to see bad behavior, like talking people. I see this all the time in the stores, people talking on their phone, on the speaker phone. So you can hear the whole conversation throughout the whole store. Like, I don't need to hear this. And then of course, let's talk about air travel too now, because that's really where you see it. It's like, I don't think a day goes by where someone isn't posting a video of a passenger on an airline losing their nut for some reason.
Right. And it is, it's quite disconcerting, because at points you kind of have to think, is your safety, or are they going to lash out at you and such, because a disruptive passengers do cause diversions, delay, and even arrest. I've been on a few flights where, because a client or a guest was not behaving properly or being aggressive to a female guest, and they're male, they diverted to another city that wasn't part of the route, and officers came on board and escorted you off. And that's pretty scary. Like, that'll go. And nowadays, because social media is so prevalent, that could go back to your work.
Oh, and, absolutely. Yes, and we've seen examples of that too.
Yeah. So, you know, listen to safety briefings, store your bag properly. Don't argue with that's the way it is. And, you know, go easy, maybe go easy on the alcohol. Because courtesy in the air isn't optional. Like, we're in a pretty enclosed environment that we do have to do all our part to make sure we all are in a safe environment. And this is a new term. Aisle lice. Have you heard of that?
I have. I see it all the time, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah. So these are passengers who leap into the aisle the second the plane lands or hits the gates, or even though they're 10 rows ahead of them are still unloading. And actually, yeah. And I don't know if it's culture that sometimes, or it's just bad behavior. You're just not thinking, like even merging in from, you know, one row to another to get out. It's like, what's with that? Like, I don't get it.
Well, I see this and people have to stand by the gate to get on the plane when they're not ready to take their ticket. You know what I mean? Like they're
zone five.
Right. And you know, they're boarding zone one, like get out of the way. It just drives me nuts. And the aisle lice, it's not just one or two people. It's the vast majority of the aircraft. Like I would bet 90% of the people stand up right away. So the aisle is just blocked and they stand there for 15 minutes because the plane isn't ready to plane yet. Like I sit there, I don't move. Mm-hmm. And so I get, you know, jostled. Sometimes you almost get an elbow in the head because someone's standing there. It's like, sit down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It just drives me nuts. So yes, that's one of the biggest complaints that according to CNN Travel is most complained about air travel habit is doing that. So don't do it anymore.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, to me, and you don't want to get into that herd mentality where if one person does it, other people will do it, just like you said. Because then it's like that makes no sense. But we all have to learn before you go. We have to, you know, research local customs, dress codes, gestures, dining etiquette, so you're not caught off guard. Respect personal and public space. Keep your voice down in sacred and transit areas and ask before photographing people. And we really noticed that when we were traveling through West Africa, like you would be on a 4x4 vehicle, open air, and, you know, perhaps you don't think people in the markets are aware of what you're doing, but they're still going around their life and their own personal world. So you have to be careful that you're not just taking them because they don't think you are, they know yet that you're doing it. But it's good to support local communities, like pay fair prices, shop and eat locally. And then we talked about this before, consider visiting lesser known destinations to help ease over tourism because there will be an environmental impact. And we talked about it. Pack out your trash, leave no trace, and don't take shells or rocks or souvenirs from nature. And if you're staying in someone's home, just like a VRBO, a lot of those nowadays, treat it like your home, clean up after yourself, respect house rules. So at the end of the day, just, you know, you're a guest in somebody's country.
Absolutely. Don't be a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to point fingers. But sometimes you really have to think about what your own doing yourself.
Exactly.
But I
no
think,
one's perfect.
Know,
no one's no, perfect. But, no, but, you know,
I always think I'm grateful I have the health and the opportunity and the resources to travel. So I am happy. I don't want to be that person. And you don't want to also be blacklisted in a country. Like maybe, you know, there's going to become a time where I bet you it's going to be noted on your passport or your digital something that, this person in. I don't know if that's true or not, but you kind of think with all the technology and AI that's out there, it might happen.
Oh, yeah. It's called How to Avoid Being a Bad Tourist. You can find it on the Travel Pulse Canada website, travelpulse.ca. Just be nice. No,
that's right. Because you know what? You're going to end up having a far better experience yourself, for yourself and for your family.
And you don't want to be one of those people that end up on social media.
Because it can go viral.
Onanda Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanda Forbes. OnandaForbes.com is her website. Always good to chat, Onanda. Thank you.
Take care.